Well, it's great to be here with you today. Being given the opportunity to speak to you about something that God's laid on my heart. You know, in fact, it was several months ago that God laid this on my heart, but not as a message. I had this thought in my mind about someone in the church, and, you know, they're following the Lord. And I just thought, God, I pray that they're really going to follow you and answer the call that's on their lives and fulfill the call that's on their lives. And I started praying for them every day, and that was fine. But then it went to, there was some other people, and I thought, God, I pray that they will answer the call that's on their lives and follow it and fulfill the call. But then it went to, God, would you help us all to fulfill the call that's on our lives, that you've placed on our lives? And every day I just pray this. And I just want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I want to start with a scripture that you'll find in John's Gospel, and it's verse 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through a gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I think what an amazing purpose to give us a rich and satisfying life. Well, life has become very strange in recent months. We're not exactly doing what we did last year, are we? If we look back and think, how was life last year? It is so different this year. And, you know, I think something that I've discovered is that for the last 4 months, a lot of people have been re-examining their lives, and a lot of them have said to me, you know, I don't want to do life the way I've done it in the past. When this is over, I don't want to go back to the old way of doing things. You know, it's great, because during this last 4 months, I've seen so many people that have changed the way they're doing life. They're taking time for things that they maybe didn't think were quite so important before. They're spending time with their children. They're out playing on the green with them, and they're having a great time. You know, there are all sorts of things they're doing. They're talking to people. You know, when I'm walking, we live in a village. When I walk around the village, total strangers will stop and talk to me, which is maybe not so good for them, because I talk to anyone and I'll go on and on a bit. But, you know, total strangers want to talk to each other. But also they want to help each other as well. There are so many people in the village that are helping other people that they don't know in at the moment, or hadn't known. And that's just such a great thing. It's almost like someone has pressed a big reset button and life has been put on pause for a while. And people are rediscovering what is really important in life, because so often we find that the things that we thought were important are the things that are robbing us of what is really life about. And one of the things that they've discovered is important is a relationship with God. You know, it's not surprising that God is high on the list of things that's important. So many people, millions of people worldwide, have suddenly discovered that they want to have a prayer life, that they're trying to get in touch with this God that maybe until a couple of months ago they didn't know if they even existed. Well, just like we've discovered it's great to talk to each other, people are discovering it's great to talk to God. And the amazing thing is, he likes to talk to us. You know, I don't know who's listening to this message this morning, whether you're part of Harbour Church, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, but it really makes no difference, because God knows who you are and he knows exactly where you are and what your position is. And the good thing is, this is a season for change. You know, we live in seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. Well, this is an opportunity to re-examine our lives and look and say, is what I'm doing really what I want to be doing? Is what I'm doing fulfilling my life? You know, God, I believe, is allowing us to go through this season. But what I wonder is he preparing us as we spend time with him, listening to him, talking to him? Is he preparing us for something that maybe is coming round the corner that we don't know about yet? You see, it's so important to have that relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a Christian to hear what God is saying to you. And this morning, I pray that God will speak to you and that you will hear him. You know, I was brought up in a home that wasn't a Christian home. You know, we weren't bad people, not that I know of anyway, but we weren't Christians. We'd say, oh yes, we're Church of England or C of E, but we never went to church, only when it was a wedding or a funeral. And we had our own idea of what Christianity was about and what God was like, but it was very much our own idea and actually had no resemblance to anything you'd find in the Bible. It was just what we thought. Anyway, as a young man, I started working in London as a freelance photographer. And one night, I was taking some photographs of a book cover, or for a book cover for an Agatha Christie book. And it was late at night, and it got to about 10:30. Now, I was working on what's called a plate camera, and that is, you use individual sheets of film for that. And I had one sheet of film left, and I'd done quite a few shots of this thing. It was a glove that was half burnt, and it was the clue for the book. And I thought, oh, I've just had enough. I've got an hour and a half journey home. I really don't want to be bothered with doing anymore. I think that will do it. And I turned off the lights, and I was about to walk away, and I heard a voice in my head saying, set fire to the glove. And I thought, what? And I thought, I can't be bothered. And I was about to walk away, and I heard the voice again, set fire to the glove. So I went back, and I got some cow gum, and I spread that on. And cow gum, if you don't know, is very flammable. And I set fire to the glove and took the photograph with the one last sheet of film that I had. The amazing thing was, that was the one that they used. Actually, this is the book, a copy of the book that I photographed it for. Had I not listened to that voice, they might have rejected the job. Anyway, I didn't actually realize who that was talking to me at the time. It wasn't until I became a Christian later on that I discovered that God loves to talk to us, even when we're non-Christians. And he's interested, even in a non-Christian, in the smallest details of our lives. Well, I became a Christian back in 1981, I think it was. And I've got loads of stories that I'm sure they all know here that I could tell you about God talking to me, about the things that God has done. And I'm not going to tell you all of them today because I don't have time. But I will tell you a couple of quick ones because I think it's relevant. You know, in 1991, God took us to live in Northern Ireland, my wife Sue and our two children, Simon and Samantha. He took us to live in Northern Ireland in the middle of the Troubles to be missionaries. And we did all sorts of things while we were there. We ran a Christian retreat. We put on outreach meetings. All sorts of events. I worked in a Bible college for a couple of years. And then at one point, I actually worked for a Christian who was a friend of mine who had his own television production company. Now, he'd worked for the BBC and actually worked with Danny Boyle and was asked to do all the editing on Trainspotting. But as a Christian, he decided that's not for me. And so he went off on his own and did his own thing. And so I worked with John for a couple of years. And this was great, and I really enjoyed doing the work. Now, I'd always had a passion for video and television ever since I was a photographer. And I had this idea, I would love to be able to get people's testimonies, put them on video, and get them on television somehow. Well, after a couple of years of working with him, I decided to have a go at this. And I did the life story of a chap called Douglas Gresham, who is C.S. Lewis's adopted son. Now, he lives in Southern Ireland, and I thought, right, I'll do this film, find out what his life was all about with C.S. Lewis, and then send it out to all the TV stations and see if anyone will put it on, which is what I did. And the replies started to come in after a while, and a lot of rejections. Anyway, I was in Belfast one day, and I just happened to be sitting outside the BBC in a traffic jam, waiting for the traffic lights to change, and I looked around and looked at the gate, at the door, and thought, I wonder what it's like in there. I'd really like to have a look around. Anyway, the lights changed, I drove off, and that was it. But the next day, I had a letter come through from the head of BBC Choice, and he said, would you come in and see me? I've watched the programme, and I would like to have a chat with you about it. Well, I thought, this is great, you know, so I made the appointment. A few days later, Sue and I were due to go to a Christian meeting in Belfast where Matt Redman was the singer and Mike Hilapacci was the preacher. Anyway, in the middle of the worship, we're having a great time praising the Lord, I started to think about this man and the meeting that I got with him. And as I thought about him, God just spoke to me and he said, I have raised this man up for this purpose. Now, when I heard God speak to me before about the book, I didn't know who it was. But by this time, I'd learned to recognize his voice. I didn't get really excited about it, but I thought, well, I wonder what's going to happen. So a couple of days later, I went for the meeting with this man, and it turned out he was really into C.S. Lewis in a big way. So he said, look, I would love to put this program on television on BBC. And he bought the rights to show it for 3 times over the next 2 years. So while I was there, I said, look, any chance you'd be interested in any other programs? And he said, yeah, give me some ideas. So I sent him some ideas, and he commissioned me to do a series of 6 programs telling life stories of people from Ireland. A bunch of them just happened to be Christians, which he put out on television, which was great. You know, it was God opening the way. God was interested in me as a Christian. He was interested in me as a non-Christian, and he was interested in me as a Christian. He wanted to make a difference to my life. Well, I carried on doing this, and this was great. Now, as any new business is going to be hard work to get going to start with. So times were hard, and we went to a meeting one day, and there was a guy with a prophetic ministry, and I was talking to him after the meeting, and he said, I believe God's giving you a choice. I believe he's saying you can either do television or you can do ministry. The choice is yours. Well, as a committed Christian, I had no hesitation in saying to myself, I'll do television, God, if that's okay. So God opened up the way for me to do television, and more work came in from the BBC. They commissioned me to do some more series. There was a chap that had a slot on a TV, a Christian television station. He started commissioning me, and things started going quite well. But then all of a sudden, Sue got really ill. In fact, so ill she almost died. And for months and months, life was really tough. We didn't know what was going to happen. Life was put on hold. It was like someone had pressed that reset button and said, things are changing. It was a different season. And for months I prayed for Sue, but didn't see her get any better. I just saw her get worse. And, you know, I'd always been a man of faith. I saw God do miracles, loads and loads and loads of miracles, and answer loads of questions and prayers, and he did incredible things. He was so real to me. But during this time, I got so despondent. And I have to say, I had a major challenge of faith. And one day I was out, and I said, God, I don't believe in you anymore. Which I was talking to Josh the other day, and I said, if I say this, I usually end up crying, which I hope I'm not going to do today. It just touched me so much that I should do that, that I should turn away from God, Now, I only turned away from him for a couple of days, and even during that time, every day I'd go out and I'd walk and I'd pray to this God that I said I didn't believe in. And then one day, I stopped in my tracks, and I could show you the exact spot. And I stopped and I said, God, I choose to believe. And that's exactly what I did. I chose. I made a choice that I was going to believe and I was going to follow God for the rest of my life, no matter what happened, whether Sue got better or whether she got worse and died. You know, because Sue was a Christian, I knew where she was going to go. If she, you know, don't get me wrong. I didn't want her to go. I still don't want her to go. Praise God, she's still alive today, and I thank God for her every day. But I decided to trust God with my life and with Sue's life. Anyway, the next day I was out walking again and praying, and all of a sudden God spoke to me. And he said, you've got a choice. You can either do television or ministry. This time I said, God, I don't know. I don't know what's best. Will you choose for me? And the very next day, I think it was either that afternoon or the next day, I got a phone call. And it was the church where we were worshiping in Coleraine. The pastor had stepped down a few weeks before. And they asked me to take on the church, the role of pastor, which is what I did as pastor for the next 10 years with Sue. We pastored the church. And what I'm saying is, God spoke to me when I was a non-Christian. God spoke to me when I was a Christian. And God spoke to me when I turned away. I mean, how incredible is our God? You see, the thing is with our God, he doesn't do anything for his own benefit. Everything he does is for our benefit. He wants us to have the best life. It's what Jesus said. What's he say? My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, Jesus never ever lies. He speaks the truth. He is the truth. So when Jesus says he wants to give you my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, it's the truth. And that's what he wanted to do for me. And I have to confess that my life has been so rich and so satisfying and so wonderful. You know, I am so blessed. You know, it's you know, I think people get sick and tired of me saying this, but I'm truly blessed. And every day I'm giving God the glory and saying, thank you so much, God, because only I know how much he's blessed me. Only I know how good he's been to me. But I tell you, I'm not the only one he wants to do it to. He wants to do it to you, and he wants to do it to everyone else. So if you're listening to this message today thinking, I wonder if he could do it with me, the answer is yes. Let me tell you some of the people God has done it with. When we look at the Bible, we see people like Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Samuel, David, Elijah, Daniel, Mary, Peter, Paul. It's incredible. All these people have got incredible stories to read as we read the Bible. They have got amazing testimonies of what God has done. But what is really incredible is that none of them were doing anything fantastic until they had an encounter with God. It's the encounter with God that changes everything. Now, you can have an encounter with God and God can say to you, I'm calling you to a better life. I'm calling you to something that is really good. And we can turn around and say, well, that's all right, God. I'm feeling pretty good at the moment. Life's going well at the moment. No, I'm fine as I am. Thank you very much. But the truth is, when we look back on the last 4 months, we can see just how fragile this life is. And we need to build our lives on something that is more secure, something that is more solid than a new house and a new car and a better job and more stuff. We need to build our lives on Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he will give you an amazing life. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not always easy. Let me tell you, with Sue, it's not easy. Her life is really difficult, but she's following the Lord, and she's full of joy, and she's full of peace, and she's full of Jesus, and she is just the best wife I could ever ask for. My life isn't always easy. I mess up, and as you know, I've messed up many, many times. But God is faithful, even when we turn away, even when we mess up, He is faithful. And I just want to encourage you today and say to you, there is a call that is upon your life. Jesus is calling you and saying, will you come and follow me? Will you give your life to me? That's the question. The answer is down to you. Will you say yes? The choice is yours. I just want to pray for you. You don't have to close your eyes. You're in your own home. No one's watching. You can be totally real with God. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. And I'm just going to pray for you right now. Father, would you just touch these people that are watching this message, Lord? I don't know who they are. I don't know where they are, Lord, but you do. Will you speak to them? Will you reveal yourself to them, Lord? And will you help them to hear you calling them, Lord? Father, by your Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to them, Lord. And while I'm praying this, why don't you just say to Jesus, Jesus, will you come into my life? I need to rebuild my life on something that's solid. And I want to have you in my life. Would you give me this life that Tim's talking about? Jesus, I give my life to you. Amen.